On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
All right, out will be Ryan Anderson, hamstring, Bergstrom, knee, ankle, McCoy, fibula. Questionable will be Brown, illness, Ioannidis, shin, Roulier, knee, and Dachson, hip.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We have had a very successful Redskins Talk Christmas party. Big, big, big thanks to everybody who came. Folks came from out of town. Folks came from in town. Pete's whole family came. It was a blast. We donated a ton of presents to Toys for Tots. That's what's really important. We had a great time. Literally, we filled up two big boxes of those Toys for Tots boxes with presents. Think about the impact that has on a number of little kids and let them enjoy a Christmas that so many of us kind of take for granted. So applaud yourselves, everybody that came. Seriously. Also, this is going to be a football pod, and then we're going to talk podcast party on the back end. But I want to thank the good folks at Matchbox. I want to thank Victoria, the manager of the Rockville Matchbox. She took great care of us. I want to thank Bob Biaggi and Garv from Oarsman Automotive of Virginia for coming. They are great sponsors. Nothing like really being able to be friends with the people that support you. I want to thank the folks at iFly. That is a really cool product they have. Folks should go check it out. Go pretend like you're skydiving. And I want to thank my boy Matram and the Breaking Tea support we got last night. So hopefully that is all the thank yous. And, dude, we don't say this. Batesh, Potter, Lieberman, Schuster, all the guys at NBC Sports that put some work in. Appreciate you guys as well. All right. That's taken care of. Pete, Mitch, how are you, boys?
Hello, hello.
Doing great, buddy. How are you feeling?
Dude, I actually felt pretty good. I was okay, man. I think I called it a night at the right time. I went to Mitch's late night party, and I had like a beer and then called it quits. You guys stayed up much later.
We did. I believe we finished about almost two full 30 packs back here afterwards.
So. Yeah, and some bourbon shots as well. And then I slept in Mitch's living room, which was 42 degrees last night, a nice balmy 42. It felt like I was sleeping outside.
Why was it so cold?
The porch door was open, so Pete basically slept outside.
Like the couch was like 2 feet away from the door, wide open, and I had like three tiny blankets on me, so I might be sick.
All right, well, good luck, buddy. I went to a USO Wounded Warrior Christmas party today at Walter Reed. I don't like to miss practice ever, but when you get invitations to things like that, you got to recognize what's more important. And I attended that. So Pete was our guy, boots on the ground, mm-hmm. at Friday's practice. Pedro, tell us what you know, buddy.
I think the most interesting thing to emerge from Friday's practice is what's going to happen at guard on Sunday. They asked Jay Gruden, what are you thinking? And he had a couple different answers. He haven't figured out a plan yet, but he's talking about it could be a rotational thing. He said we have different flavors of guards. We have the mammoth guards we can put in there. We have the more athletic guards we can put in there. And he didn't even rule out trying those guys in a rotation, different times, different places. So Austin Howard was taking reps at guard at one point, and Seki was taking reps, but then you had guys like Bolanco and the new guy. So they have no idea. They have a walkthrough on Saturday where I think they're going to nail this down. But whatever the Redskins are going to do at guard, there are a ton of options on the table, and they're not ruling any of them out, which I think is interesting. You could have four of the biggest linemen you've ever seen on the field at the same time with Roulier in the middle if they do Insecki and Howard.
Can you imagine can you imagine what that offensive line would look like if you go Insecki and Howard?
Howard's the one guy I've ever seen that's bigger than Ty Insecki. Like, Trent Williams would be the smallest guy on the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Jay said he might go with that route because, so Tarek asked him, why would you do this four tackles across the line idea? And Jay says he likes that they're big, obviously, and that they're good pass protectors. So that would be, if they're worried about the pass rush, they would go with Howard and Insecki in the middle. And someone asked, hey, isn't that kind of a problem with Sanchez throwing over the top of these giant guys? Like, normally you want guards to be a little bit shorter. And Jay kind of said, you know, sometimes the beef is better. So I thought that was a good line for Mitch. Sometimes the beef is better. And
I do like that line.
If they're bigger guards, yes, that could be a problem throwing over, but that will hopefully limit the pressure right in Sanchez's face, which could kind of offset the troubles of throwing over top of them. So I'm very interested to see. All of a sudden, I'm all in on what's going to happen at guard on Sunday. You got to find things to get excited about for this game, and I am now very excited to see what they do with guard.
It's taken a long time, but we finally have got Pete into offensive line play. Mitch, are you proud?
I'm very proud. I also love this approach. It's almost old school NFL, you know.
Yeah.
Old school, new age NFL linemen are a little bit smaller, a little bit leaner, a little bit quicker, and it's not so much about getting the beef across the front. But if you look back at the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s NFL, they got the five big dudes they got on the team, and they lined up and made sure no one got by them. So it'll be cool to see. If they end up going that way,
I don't want to break up your romanticism vision, but that is complete horseshit.
What?
The linemen today are way bigger than they were in the 60s and 70s. Way bigger.
By comparison, like, yes, side by side, they're way bigger, but linebackers weren't 250 in 1965. Linebackers, right. You know.
All right, I'm with you there. And certainly guys are more athletic today than they used to be. You know, they used to just be like big, heavy dudes. So I'm with you there. But I think it's important to point out that O-linemen today are, like, I don't think a single member of the Hogs was over 300 pounds.
Right, but how many players in the NFL were over 300 pounds at that time? Bigger. Straight comparison, they're bigger guys. But I'm saying compared to the players that they're on the field with today.
Okay.
Well,
fair enough.
I didn't really get the chance to say this because we were running out of time on 100, but during the Redskins win if segment, my Redskins win if is if they kind of do some things unconventional. So I think when you're going up with Mark Sanchez and a banged up O-line and you're kind of on the slide, I don't know if you can try and beat the Giants straight up because you may not have the firepower and the depth to do it. So trying out some things like this, you know, if you have a fake punt look that you really like, maybe now's the time to roll it out. If you could try and throw something new at them on defense, give them something they haven't seen before, maybe trying Preston Smith and Kerrigan on the same side of the line or just little things like that to try and swing the game in your favor. I think it's a good idea. So it's cool to see the Redskins maybe thinking outside of the box when it comes to offensive line. And I'm interested to see what other things they maybe try and roll out on Sunday. That's a little different.
Agreed. All right, Pete, I want everyone to know that I'm putting illness in air quotes.
Oh my God.
Did Zach Brown practice on Friday after missing Thursday's practice with an illness?
He was there. I don't think he really did much. The time we were in there was mostly special teams and individuals. Jay put him as questionable on the injury report. Other guys who are questionable are Matt Ioannidis, Roulier, and Josh Doxson. Doxson strained his hip in Friday's practice when we weren't there. Jay didn't seem too worried about it, which is good. I just thought it was interesting. So before the New Orleans game, Doxson's heel kind of flared up, and I looked back, and all three of those podcasts from that week, Josh Doxson's name was in the headline. It was update on Doxson's heel. Will Doxson play? Like, it was a really big topic. But now, like, Josh Doxson, this hip injury, it's not really a big story anymore. And I kind of think it's because, A, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But also, I think we've now realized that Josh Doctson playing or not isn't a huge factor for the Redskins. Maybe back in New Orleans, we still thought, hey, this guy could be a difference maker. But now that we're so deep into year three, I think we kind of see that Josh Doctson's just a receiver and his hip injury isn't that big of a story because he doesn't really do much when he's on the field. Is that fair?
Well, dude, how about this, Pete? You had that tweet earlier in the week or something about what a remarkable season that Jordan Reed and Josh Doctson haven't missed a game.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, Doctson missed a game. And we had to go back and look it up.
Right.
Like typically we would know if he did or didn't, but the like you said, the impact has been not nothing, but minimal.
Yeah, the interest around his health and his ability, it's kind of gone away because I think we're just kind of used to Josh Doctson posting three catches a week and, you know, not really doing much. So it sounds like he's still going to play on Sunday, but it's not really a big story. And I just think that's interesting with the way his career is trending. And two players have been ruled out, by the way. Bergstrom and Ryan Anderson are your guys who will not play on Sunday.
Anderson might miss 2 weeks. Sorry, Mitch, go ahead.
Ryan Anderson, anything out there?
No, he had his snow cap on. He didn't do anything. Jay said he has a deep bruise. They've seen a couple specialists and he's questionable for Sunday. I didn't really get a good feel.
That's not practicing all week. That doesn't bode well.
Yeah. So maybe more Caleb Brantley and Tim Settle.
What about Rudy? He went a little bit yesterday. What about today?
I think a little bit as well. They're kind of just doing those offensive line warm-up drills when we were in there. So, yeah, he's been on the injury report all week with that grade one knee sprain. And Jay just kind of gave the update. He didn't give a feel one way or the other.
We talk a lot about the guards, but if Rouye can't go, that's a precarious situation there.
Right, because Bergstrom is normally your center or a center you can use, and he's already out. So, hello, more shuffling may be coming your way.
Yeah.
Who would that backup center be? I don't even know.
Is it Rainey? Demetrius Rainey?
Yeah, it's Rainey.
Right. Forgot they got him.
And the last practice note I have is I was just kind of watching Mark Sanchez and, he's just running around, you know, catching passes and being a fake pass rusher when he's not taking snaps at quarterback. You can just tell he's just genuinely happy to be at an NFL practice again and having this chance. And we saw his attitude in Wednesday's press conference. And I just kind of like the vibe I'm getting from him. He knows that no one's believing in this team or thinks that he can really do much under center. And I think he's just been busting his ass and is approaching this opportunity the total right way and is going to go out on Sunday and play hard and see what happens. But I think Mark Sanchez is just in a good spot mentally. We'll see how he produces on Sunday, though.
I'm with you, Pete. I have been impressed by Sanchez this week tremendously. I wrote about this. I think he's absolutely in a good mental place. He is not looking for validation from others. He just wants to, what he said, he wants to have a great day of practice every day. He wants to, you know, bust his butt, lift his weights, prove to his teammates that he's the guy. All of that is fantastic. None of that is going to complete a pass or throw a touchdown. And I don't know if you guys knew this. I'm making an executive decision right now. Because of the situation with Sanchez, we have nothing to base this on. We're going to skip over-unders this week. Just because we got nothing to base Sanchez on, the O-line, not to mention it's been a crazy week with a podcast party in the middle of it, but I just decided that.
Okay.
The other thing that I think Gruden is, here's one over-under I'm gonna throw out there.
I thought we weren't doing over-unders.
Well, this is kind of a broader conversational topic, Mitchell.
All right.
Point five snaps for Josh Johnson.
Hmm.
And here's where I'm going here. Jay likes Josh Johnson. I know that. I think if it goes bad with Sanchez, and maybe it won't, but if it does, I think Josh Johnson might get in a game here. I think.
Do you mean for the rest of the season? 0.5 snaps?
I think the rest of the season.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's one underlying thing that I want everybody to watch on Sunday, because I have heard this a few different times this week. Gruden said it publicly on Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember which day. Mark Sanchez has not figured out the cadence and the snap counts, and it's going to drive Jay Gruden absolutely nuts. They're going to have false starts piling up, and the problem is the only effing cadence they can sort out, from what I'm hearing, is one that they can't change it at all. So the defensive line is going to be able to jump off the snap every play, and it's going to put the Redskins at a dramatic disadvantage.
Yeah,
it's such an elemental thing, but I'm telling you, it's going to be a big deal Sunday. If it is a big deal, Gruden's going to go crazy.
Yeah, Jay was asked about that at practice. How was the cadence today? Because yesterday, Thursday, was when it was bad, and he was getting very heated about it. He said things were a little better. No false starts today. He laughed. So that was a good thing. It was a good start. It's all getting better. It's a process, just getting to know the players and calling plays in the huddle, breaking the huddle, tempo. All that stuff has gotten better and better. I don't know how much better it can get in a couple days. And yeah, just hearing him say, oh, it's a process, just getting to know the players, calling plays in the huddle and breaking the huddle. My God, that's like elementary school basic football stuff that they're having to work on. So yeah, the offense could look a little sloppy, and the Josh Johnson stuff is very intriguing, JP.
That happens this week. I just think it's something to consider.
I'll take the over 0.5. Yeah. Like you said, maybe things go south with Sanchez. I also think the season is just so wacky that, hell, one more quarterback injury may be in the books. And just because they signed Josh Johnson 2 weeks ago or a week ago, and he'll probably play just to make this even more of a crazy ending to the year. So I'll take the over.
Mitchell?
I'll take the over, too. I mean, they didn't sign him a week ago. They signed him three days ago.
Yeah.
But, you know. It's right. Yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of growing pains here over the next 4 weeks as these guys get accustomed to this offense.
I got one more long term over under for you. 0.5 snaps for Colt McCoy. Jay Gruden has been clear that they're not putting him on IR. They're wishful thinking that he can come back late in the year. I'm taking under on this, but I'll give you guys the floor.
Yeah, I'll take under two. It seems the only way that would happen is if they make the playoffs. Why would you bring Colt back if you're 6-9 at the end of the year? So under on that.
Yeah, I mean, what Pete said. They'd have to be in playoff contention. That Week 17 game against the Eagles would have to mean something, and I don't know that I see that to be the case, so I don't think he's going to see another snap this year.
It could also mean, though, knocking the Eagles out of the playoffs.
That
could have some value.
I don't think that'll help any.
You remember at the end of, I think it was either 14 or 15 with RG3, they talked about wanting to make sure that you got a guy who's healthy so they can go through the entire off-season process and, you know, make sure that you make the most of those OTAs and minicamps and all that stuff. Like, if you're almost getting to a point where you got to make sure that you have. If you think that Colt could be the starter game one in 2019, you don't want to mess with that, you know, for a week 17, you know,
that's a good point, especially him playing on a broken leg.
Right.
That's a very good point, Mitchell. And everything we're hearing about Alex, you know, we did kind of the, I don't know if you want to call that an emergency pod yesterday. We'll give it, what did we call it? An urgency pod?
Yeah. Urgency pod.
Yeah. Did the Alex urgency pod yesterday. By all accounts, I don't think anybody's expecting Alex to be ready to go. We're not sure he's going to play in 2019, period, or ever. So that's a very good point, Mitch. So I said we're not going to do over-unders, but here comes my third.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if we've done this yet. 0.5 wins for the rest of the year. They got four games left. Mitch, you start.
I'm going over. I think they can get one, and they might even get a second one. I think the NFL is weird enough, and as you go down the stretch, you're going to see teams that completely give up on the season, on their teams, on their coaches. And I think we've seen a bunch of resilience from these Redskins, and not just this year, but in years past under Jay Gruden, that they don't just fold up and quit at the end of the season, despite it being kind of a lost year. So I think these guys are going to fight. I think you're going to see. I think we'll see maybe two more wins.
Last half full for Mitch Tischler.
Yeah,
that's me.
I'll take the over as well, but I think it has to be in these next two games. Either surprise the Giants or take advantage of the Jags, who are just run over by Derrick Henry, make Derrick Henry look like Walter Payton. I watched a lot of Walter Payton growing up, so that's a very timely reference by me there. But I don't think they can beat the Titans or Eagles.
I never saw Walter Payton.
Of course I never saw Walter Payton. It's a joke. But yeah, I don't think they can beat the Titans or Eagles as presently constructed. So I take the over, but it has to be one of these next two games.
All Yeah, I got him winning one more, and I think it's in Jacksonville. Okay.
Any more?
All right, let's what?
Any more over-unders? You've done three. You want to just keep going?
At some point, we're going to have to discuss over-under on coaching changes, but that's not for today.
Hey, if we're keeping the positivity going and we think that one of these next two are the two that they could potentially win, how different does the season look if they win the next two?
Oh, my gosh, Mitch. I think you're still drunk.
I really hope they win on Sunday just so we can have like a 1 week of like, whoa, could this really work? What if this happens? Just to get a little more juice out of this season. So I hope they win on Sunday.
Let's hope they win the next two, and let's play it by ear from there.
Okay. I like it, Mitch.
They can steal one from the Titans or the Eagles.
We're chasing Buffalo.
Indeed. Twice indeed. All right. Let's go quick. How does the game unfold on Sunday, Pete?
I think it's going to be fairly gross. Like Mark Sanchez, I'm warming up to him a tiny bit, but again, this isn't going to be the Disney movie where they go 4-0 and carry him on their shoulders after a great finishing run. I think it's going to kind of be a sloppy NFC East late season game. They're going to hang tough with the Giants, but I think they just kind of run out of steam at the end. Sanchez maybe has a crucial turnover late and they lose by field goal to 7 points, but I'm not expecting it to be the most flawless football game ever played.
I kind of think it's going to be a Saquon Barkley fest. I think we're going to see a lot of them both in the passing game and running game. And I don't think we're going to see a lot of the running game from the Redskins. So it might be a little bit ugly. I think it might get a little ugly.
I think the Skins have given us no reason to believe they can stop the run in the last 6 weeks. And Saquon is hitting his stride. I think the Giants are playing better. You need a bunch of turnovers from Eli. You need to sack him a ton if you're going to have a chance in this game. And you need Adrian Peterson to have a huge day. They need AP at 18, 20 carries and Thompson at 10 touches to win this thing. I don't see it happening. You know, before Colt went down, my expectation was for them to beat the Eagles and then come home and lose to the Giants. So I'm not backing off the expectation that they're going to lose to the Giants. You never know. Football is a crazy sport. But the one thing I'll say is the whole world's going to be picking the Giants. Maybe that will help the Skins. We'll see. All right, that's the football portion of the pod, unless there's anything else we need to discuss.
It's just nuts how when they went into New York, you know, a handful of weeks ago, everybody's expecting them to win, and now the roles have completely reversed, and like we're just kind of worried about what the Giants are going to do to this team. But that's the NFL. It churns you up and spits you out, and it's been ugly for the Redskins recently.
Football. JP also made that kind of touch on for a second, but the way the NFL is, whenever you think a team has no shot of winning, when they're down and out, their third-string quarterback, their running back is old and hurt or whatever it may be, and the team is playing like crap, all of a sudden they come out and win, and that's the way the NFL works. So.
I get that, but we said that before the Dallas game, or at least some of us did, and we said that before the Philly game, and those games turned out poorly. So I get it's the, oh, just when you think it's going one way, it'll go the other, and oh, they rebound under Jay Gruden, but they haven't really rebounded or corrected things in the past month, so I don't expect it to happen on Sunday.
That's what Vegas wants you to think, Pete. What's the line on this joint, Mitch?
I believe the Giants are 3-point favorites.
Yes,
3.5-point favorites.
Shouldn't the Giants be like 7-point favorites? I know it's on the road, but that should be higher. They've won 3 of 4, and the Skins are starting Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, I mean it's certainly a number
they
that
just beat the Bears.
It's certainly at face value looks like a number that you love the Giants at, but maybe that's what Vegas wants you to think.
I think that's what Vegas wants you to think. I'm starting to talk myself into this thing. All right. I want to talk about the podcast party now. A terrific, terrific time. Because it was in season, we couldn't do a straight hangover pod. We all had stuff to do today. But I had a blast. I want to thank Mark Perina for coming, and congratulations to him and his fiance. She is clearly the best woman on earth because they are celebrating getting engaged by coming to our podcast party, taking a tour of FedEx Field, and tailgating before Skins Giants on Sunday. That, my friends, is what you call a keeper.
That's unfair that he got to marry her. She sounds very nice. I'm jealous.
They took the they took the drive down from Rochester to get here, I believe. They're talking garbage plates and the rest. Pete, have you ever had a garbage plate before?
No. What the hell is that?
I have. It's like, Mitch, The more beef, the better. What is this to say?
Yeah, it's a huge plate of fried food and beef and everything else you can imagine. It's incredible.
Like French fries and stuff, right? They're all on there together?
Yeah, it's all mixed in as one big thing. In fact, Mark was talking about he was going to bring down some of that, I don't even know what it's called, spicy beef or whatever that's on it. But he figured that none of us would have any idea what that was.
Beef on wick is a big Buffalo thing. I know that. I want to thank Tennille, who came
and gave
me a pocket square and said, my pocket square game needs work. So she gave me one. That was very, very sweet. My boy Jason Linehan was there. Dude is the best in the world. Appreciate you, Jay Lynn. My buddy Pat Dowd was there. My college roommate Mike Farley was there. You guys chime in. Of course, Tim Meek and Brian Hall.
Love them.
The Road Warriors. Those two are like a tag team. They are the Road Warriors, man. Tim comes in from Indiana. Brian drives up from Wilmington, North Carolina, my second home. Love those guys.
Love the cheer wine and the calendar that we got from them, too. Very kind gifts.
Absolutely. We've got to say thank you to Susie and Rhonda and all the Redskins Tweet Team folks. We love having you guys at the events. It's so much fun getting to talk to you. I felt bad, man. I sat down with Rhonda, and we were talking, and she was asking me, you know, what happened to this defense? And I wish I had an answer. I really, I don't have the answer, and nobody will tell me one that's legitimate, so I'm not going to give you the same regurgitated BS that you're hearing from, you know, you're hearing from the staff. Anybody you guys want to shout out?
Mitch, go ahead.
How about all the Mets?
Yeah, it's good to do that.
Our army of Mets came back again. It's
army
always great
of Mets.
Guys. My buddy John O'Brien, nice Montgomery County police officer. So we have some.
Is that backed by Shamrock?
Yep. So we got a guy. We got a guy on our side for when you get in trouble, Pete.
Oh, good.
Wes is there too, right?
My buddy Wes, Sean. Trying to think of all the people we met. Man, there were so many. Pete, who you got?
I want to say hello to Joel Espenshad, great guy who talks to me on Twitter all the time, very friendly.
Joel.
Yeah, Joel's great, dude. Resh, I didn't really put two and two together. This was Resh that we tweet all the time. So, Resh, I'd like to personally apologize if we didn't talk enough. I feel very bad about that.
And let's also thank Matt Turrell, Dan Steiner,
Dave
Bottram, all those guys.
Yeah, the local celebrities. There are three girls I bought Miller Lights for. One was named Tara and the other two were like from the area. I totally forget their names, but they are very nice. John Nestor, it's not a podcast party without him. So John, it was great to see you as usual. Bob Biaggi.
Johnny boy.
The next bad time I have with Bob Biaggi will be the first bad time. That guy is just fun all of the time.
Bob Biaggi is the ambassador of fun.
Yeah. He's just the coolest dude ever. A couple more here. Bucci, Brittany, Jillian, Rudy, of course. And Matt Baker and Matt Heinzman. Just, it's a great squad. I love these podcast parties.
I wrote down Zipline Matt. Which one is that?
That's Matt Heinzman. Heinzman Trophy.
we also talk all the time about our female listeners. We got a great picture last night, the three of us with 10, 15?
Yeah, all 10 of them.
There. That was awesome.
Yeah, you got to post that picture.
Yeah.
What about the picture you two posted with female listeners late in the evening?
Yeah, that's Jillian and Brittany, our squad. They're two of the eight female listeners to exist on planet Earth. We were with 25% of them.
Where was that picture taken? It didn't look like Matchbox.
Yeah, that was the Tischler after party. Only the VIP got invited. You had to have a bracelet and everything.
After I left.
You were there. You were there. There were about 20 or 25 people here, all hanging out, drinking. Like I said, we almost finished 230 packs. We had a little bit of fun. Watched some. I don't even know what the hell was on TV.
I fell asleep with the TV on. By the way, I woke up in the middle of the night and it was just blaring. So that was nice. And I also
was the door open and the TV blaring.
It was a disaster.
I mean, it was probably bad on me because Pete was asleep when I went upstairs to go to bed. I didn't close the door. I didn't turn off the lights. I didn't turn off the TV. I just let Pete go as he was.
And real quick, I just want to say.
Hold on, real quick. Pete.
Okay, good.
Hold on. Let the record show I had left before that picture was taken.
Yes, it did. Okay, it's on the record. Okay. And I just want to say to my Rockville squad, Brady and Marcus, the puncher and the punchy, were there. And how great was it to see Brady with Natalie? They hung out that night of the punching, and their love has trumped the anger from that night. Brady and Natalie are still a thing, and it just makes you believe that love is possible through anything, even through punches in Arlington.
You also mentioned earlier, JP, we got to shout out the entire Haley squad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The whole family was there.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool that you guys all met them. They were very pleased to meet all of you. My mom was legitimately nervous to meet Brian Mitchell, so that was a cool moment. The happy birthday singing, everybody you sang for my mom, that was cool. So the Haleys really enjoyed themselves, and I loved having you in Rockville. I'm kind of tearing up right now.
Shout out to B Mitch for wearing the Mitch t-shirt. Hanging out the whole night. Yo, dude is the best.
Did you know that he signed a couple of the footballs he put in the Toys for Tots bin?
I did. I was at the toy store with him when he did it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I was gonna finish it by shouting out you guys, JP, for making that shirt, which is incredible. Probably my favorite shirt I've ever seen.
I love it so much. We could sell those and sell out, no problem. People want those shirts.
I was kind of thinking we might have to start our own store.
Dude,
I don't know how
it needs to happen. There'd be so many cool things we could sell.
By the way,
people would buy them.
My guy Ross was at the pod party last night, was talking to me about wanting to make those shirts and sell them. So we got to hook up to get stuff moving when we're ready to do it.
Perfect. I need some more cash now that I'm moving.
My boy Jed printed those for us. And you guys know me pretty well. When did you take that picture, Mitch? October? Oktoberfest?
Yeah.
I've had 3 months to... that idea has been in my head as soon as I saw that picture. Actually, Biagi gave me the idea. He's like, dude, we need that on a t-shirt. I was like, yes, we do. But in my normal fashion, I didn't take care of it at all. I called my boy Jed last week. I'm like, yo, I need t-shirts for the podcast party. He's like, dude, this is not very much time. I was like, yeah, I know. But he got it done. So big, big thanks to my boy Jed. And Jason Beatrice, kid I went to high school with, was there. That was funny. A great time, man. Thank you to all involved. And I want to finish. If you guys are done, I think we're about done. Thank you to everyone who came. Is there anybody else you guys need to shout out? Because I got a story we're going to end on.
No more shout outs.
Everyone for bringing those toys. You mentioned the two full boxes. That was incredible. When we first got there, like half of one box was full, and I kind of thought it might have been a little bit of a dud. And you know, an hour later, I looked over there, and the boxes are overflowing. So, shout out to you guys for coming through and making some Christmases happen.
Indeed. All right. So this is how we're going to end it. I met Bucci last night. It was a very cool dude. Wants to be the ambassador to Nigeria, and I told him the job is his as soon as he submits a picture. And he told me how he kind of started listening to the pod. He was like, look, man, I was a big Kevin and Cooley guy, and when, you know, the changes happened over at 980 and Kevin and Cooley went away, he said he needed his Redskins fix. And he said, you know, a couple of his buddies told him to listen to Redskins talk. And he's like, so I started listening to it, and I'm like, man, what is this shit? Then next thing you know, I'm listening to it every day, mm-hmm. and I love it, and I can't get enough of it. He's like, you guys talk a ton of football, and at first the stick is terrible, but then it kind of grows on you, and now I can't get enough of it. And I think that sums up the podcast experience pretty well, what we try to provide and what we get back from you guys. I mean, it is it means a lot to us. I know Pete and Mitch feel the same, that we can do these events like last night and have so much fun. And next one is New York City. I've heard if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. So Big Apple, we're coming for you. It's going to be a little while. It's going to be in the spring.
Ooh.
I got a baby to have. But after that, we'll be in business. You boys good?
We're good.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I'm sad it's over. Already looking forward to the next one. Emo Pete, it's not Emo Pete, but I am sad it's over because they're the best part of the podcast, which is the best part of our job.
Pete, don't be sad that it's over. Smile because it happened.
Oh, I'm
And on that note.
Yeah. I'm smiling. I also feel a little sick, but I'm mostly smiling.
If you made it this far, we all owe you lots of beers, even though we gave away a ton of them last night at Matchbox in Rockville. So long.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.